to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving, overjoyed, departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
We're going to head to Exodus, but before we do, would you go to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start off with verse 58, a very well-known verse. I use this passage of scripture from 50 to 58 when I do a graveside funeral most of the time. But the chapter is really an amazing chapter. We'll talk a little bit more about the chapter later on in the message, but I want to just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, just really quickly as we get started this morning. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, I'm asking that you would help us this morning as we go through this passage and the passage in Exodus. Lord, would you give us a healthy view of who you are and what you've done for us? Lord, help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And there's a reason why. God, help us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me. Give me the strength and energy and ability to be able to share your truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's a catchy thing to say. What is the word therefore? Therefore. Therefore. Now, why is the word therefore there? What's it for? Well, we look at things of what we know. We know certain things, don't we? We know things, and we don't know certain things. It's based on what we know. The word therefore is kind of bridging a gap based upon what we know. Based upon what we know, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. A lot of things in life we do or don't do based upon what we know, right? I learned about gravity in school, for sure. I've also learned about gravity in life. What do we know about gravity? We know the law of gravity tells us, and I don't know the exact words, but I know that gravity, very practically, whatever goes up is going to come down because of the weight that is there. It's going to. We understand that it's going to come down. And so we understand what is above us. And gravity would say that if we get it too close to the edge, it's going to come down. I did learn that when I was a young toddler, the hard way. I don't remember the clock that was in our house, but it obviously had something that was hanging, because as a toddler, I pulled on that thing, and I learned about gravity hitting my head at an early age. And so, again, I can't remember exactly, I don't know what the clock looked like, but I pulled on something, and when that clock became unattached to the wall, gravity did what with the clock? Straight down onto my head. And I think that I still have a little scar on my head because of that. And so I learned the hard way about gravity. When we learn and when we know about something, then we understand what not to do, right? And so hopefully that was the last time I ever pulled a clock down on my head. But even in growing older, I'm sure that there are things that I still needed to learn about gravity. If you ever drop something you didn't intend, you know, you dropped it. Oh no, you know, you got your phone above the bucket of water. Gravity would tell you if you didn't put it in your pocket securely enough that phone is going to fall down into the water, okay? That would be a hard lesson to learn, okay? And so we understand when we know certain things, and we learn it in school, we experience it, and we learn it even more. And so when I learned gravity when I got a little bit older, when I was, you understand my past in football, but then also, I don't talk as much about it, but my weight lifting days, my weight training, and my competing days. Through high school, I had a close partner that trained with me, and we competed together in different places. And so his name was Travis. I had a friend that we did a lot of lifting together. And one day, after school, we were doing some lifting and we were doing some training together. And I learned about gravity the hard way. We were there and we were doing what we call push presses. And this is in many of you might not know what a squat rack is. But this is a rack that it goes up higher, and it's some metal that is welded together, and you've got some places where an Olympic bar, a barbell, would rest on different heights, and it'd be up there, and so you can easily put on the weights from the sides, and then a person and this rack would come down, and then there would be maybe about this high, it would curve down, and you would come inside of this, maybe you can't see me here. Down here, they would call the spotters down here, and that would be if you're doing something, it's a squat rack, and so if you're doing a squat, which usually a parallel squat is, you would take the bar on the back of your neck, shoulders, really, and you would go down, and then you'd go back up. And if you couldn't lift the weight, those spotters were there so you could get out from underneath it. Does that make sense? Okay. My friend Travis was inside that rack that day, and we were both going back and forth, and we had 205 pounds on, I believe, from what I remember. We had 205 pounds on the barbell, and we were doing what we call push presses. We weren't doing squats, we were doing push presses. And what you do is you get the bar on the back of your shoulders, just the same as a squat. But what you do, it was more of a power exercise than it was for the upper body and the lower body, but you would go down a little bit and then you would lunge up like that, and you would use the momentum a little bit, and you could do heavier weight for your shoulders, and then you push the bar up, and then you would come back down and you would rest for a second, and then you would do another one and you would go up, and then you would kind of come down, and So my friend Travis is doing that, and I was behind him as a spotter, a human spotter. He had the metal spotter, but I was spotting him back, and that's just to kind of protect him, just in case something would happen and he would go backwards, I would be there to try to catch him. And Travis was, again, we were using, for a push press, that's in high school, that was fairly heavy weight to be doing, 205 pounds. And he was doing that, and he had done several reps. I can't remember which rep he was on, 3, 4, 5, I don't know. But he was going pretty well. He was going good. Well, on the rep that everything happened was he got it up there, and when he came down, it was getting too heavy for him, and he came down a little bit too fast. And when it hit his shoulders, did you notice that he did this when it came and hit my shoulders? It's to cushion it just a little bit. Well, it came down too fast. He didn't get that little dip in there, that cushion fast enough. And when it hit his shoulders, that weight kind of bounced off the back of his shoulders and came out of his hands and came backward. Okay, now I'm standing back here, spotting him. And my initial reaction as a spotter was for his safety. And so what I initially did was I put my hands out like this. And that weight, 205 pounds, was falling from this level down to this level. And what happened is it landed square right here on this middle finger's knuckle right here. That weight landed, it trapped my finger in between that 205 pounds and that metal spotter. And so it hit that thing, bounced off. He was okay, but it totally blew open my knuckle. And you can see the scars that I have here because it just blew it open. Unfortunately, I learned about gravity that day. Okay, what you know is supposed to help you, right? If I ever were to do that again, I would be remembering that instance. What I know would help me know what not to do or what to do. And we learn by experience, we learn by school, we learn by getting educated. And what we know is valuable. And folks, listen to this. I didn't give these illustrations, and I'm not telling you this for nothing this morning. What we know ought to make a difference in what we do. Would you agree? When you learn something, what's going to happen? You know, like pulling on a clock, you know that you're going to dislodge it from the wall and it's going to hurt. When you're lifting weights, you know certain things that are going to happen. You know them, and so you learn to respect those laws, like the law of gravity. I respect that weight. I'm going to respect that weight falling. And so that when I know it, then I'm going to act accordingly. And so when we know something, it should affect us and cause us to respond in a certain way. Now, Exodus chapter 14. Go there. Exodus chapter 14. Remember, the people were afraid. They have been delivered from Egypt, and they are going towards the wilderness. God has a special plan for them. The land of Canaan was waiting for them. They were going to worship. They were going to celebrate. They were going to dwell in a land that God had given to them a long, long time ago. God had miraculously brought them out of Egypt, and he had something special for these people. And they got out there, and they finally were delivered, and they get there in such a geographic location that they're there, and they've got the sea in front of them, and the geography and the mountains and the land. And they look back, and Pharaoh, his heart has again been hardened, and now he is pursuing these Israelites. And they were afraid, right? They were afraid of what was going to happen. Now, what I want to focus on this morning is Moses and his response to this. Now, last week we looked much on why we ought not be afraid and how it snares us and entangles us. Causes us to react wrongly to certain things because we're afraid of things. And hopefully last week you learned that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And so be not afraid, for I am with thee. And so we're not supposed to be afraid. In fact, I think that passage that we read in Isaiah chapter 43, didn't it talk about don't be afraid? You know, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. You know, you're not going to be consumed by the fire and the floods and all those things. We don't need to be afraid. Why? Because of the Lord. And so we learned about fear last week. But this morning I want to look at the response. And I hope that we can look at something this morning that was something done in the past, and that we can learn from it so that it will help us now. We can benefit now, and we can also benefit in the future. You see, Moses knew something, and it greatly helped him. Let's look and see what Moses knew. You know, I appreciate Moses' composure. I want you to think just for a moment what your response would be if you are in charge of a few million people, and the noise and the sound and the sight of the Egyptians who you have been in bondage in is coming back. It's like your worst nightmare, right? You just got delivered, and here they come again. What was Moses' response? Look down at verses 13 and 14. Not a lot is said, but I do believe a lot is packed into these two verses. So the Egyptians were coming, and Moses said, I want you to think, what do we learn about his character here? And Moses said unto the people, you know how they say there's certain things happen in our lives and it seemed forever, and in reality, it was probably only a few seconds. I wonder what went through Moses' mind at the end of verse 12. Again, the verse just represents an event that happened, a part of the story. And so when they looked and they saw and they listened and they heard, let's remember that Moses is a real person just like us. Okay? Have you ever noticed that we can take Bible characters and make them very non-human? We think that they're invincible. We think that because they know everything that they can easily just trust God. Folks, I want to tell you something. Moses is just like you and I. And Moses is going to, in his humanity, is going to struggle. Moses was not some superhero Christian that knew everything like we know. In fact, I say we know a whole lot more than what Moses knew. I mean, Moses himself wrote the Pentateuch. You know, the first five books of the Bible, Moses wrote those. And so Moses didn't have a Bible talking about trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. You see, sometimes we in 2024 don't know how to relate to people like Moses because we just think that they know a whole lot more, they've experienced a whole lot more. In fact, there's not even a whole ton of experience like we have. Honestly, we are far better in a far more advantageous situation than Moses was. We have so much more. Do you realize that just in your hands, your Bibles, you have something that is so valuable that they had no clue of? Moses didn't have a Bible to when he was in distress, to cling to his Bible. Don't overlook the value of a Bible. We found out this week that we're not allowed to keep any books. We found out this week that we can't keep any of our Bibles. For me, that's not super hard because I'm not a Bible writer. But my wife was in tears yesterday because her Bible is her life. And I mean that, not any Bible. I'm saying she has, especially in the last 2.5 years, she's wrote everything in that Bible of all the things that she's learned and all that she's grown through. And that was a hard moment to know that that Bible has to go in a box and she'll never be able to open it up. Don't take for granted the Bible you have on your lap. Moses didn't even have a Bible. We have an amazing advantage because we've got things right in front of us. Moses doesn't have that. And yet Moses, this leader, you know, just like us, all of a sudden, catastrophe comes into his life. And he's got, I don't know, how long did it take for Moses to open up and to say these words in the next verse? I don't know. But let's not make Moses into somebody far above us, because Moses is just like us. There's no doubt in my mind that Moses was tempted with fear. There's no way. There's no way that Moses turned around and says, folks, we got this. Now, Moses says some amazing words, but it wasn't because Moses was a superhero Christian. But I'll tell you something. Moses knew in his heart some things that made an impact on his composure during difficult situations. And this morning, what we're learning is, what is our composure? What do we do? How do we react when we are faced with trials and temptations and difficult situations? What is our reaction? And I'll tell you, it has a lot to do with what we truly know. And by the way, what we know is really what we believe. I can know something, but if I don't necessarily believe it, I don't really know it. When I say what you know, I'm talking about what you believe. Now, trust me, I believe in gravity. I experienced it, and every one of you have experienced gravity as well. And I don't believe that any of you would refute the law of gravity right now on Earth as it is, right? Why? Because you've learned it, but you've experienced it. And you all believe in it, right? You believe in it. And so therefore, you react and respond in a different way. You know that you need to move when that weight is falling now. Now you know to do something different because of what you know. Moses was a man just like you and just like me, but Moses knew something in his heart. He knew something, and it made an impact. It made a difference with what he did. And I would suggest to you today that Moses was an amazing man. Not above us, but he believed God for what he had given him. And he took it at face value, and he says, I know this, and I'm going to live it. Question, do you know God? Do you know God? Now, all of us would be very quick to say, yes, I know God. I know Him. But folks, the telling truth is when we get into a situation like this, when we turn around because we hear the hoofbeats on the ground, it's when we look back and we see all of the soldiers. It's when we see Pharaoh in his chariot coming with an angry look on his face that he's going to come and get them. It's when we see that, and then, and only then, is when real faith steps into the picture and the question is asked, do you know? You see, when things are going really well, it's easy to say, I know that God is Jehovah Jireh and He provides. I know that He is the great healer. I know that He is going to be with me everywhere I go. I know that He is my sanctification. I know He's my righteousness. I know that He is truth. I know. We know all these things when it's easy, but when we get into the situation, and then, and only then, is when you really know. And by the way, if you know, you're going to react in a certain way. And if you don't know, you're going to react in the opposite way. Question, what is your reaction when difficulties come? That has been very, very testing for me in my life. And I have failed many times over. The true test of our character is when we get put in a hot water situation. Because we've heard before, what's in the tea bag when you put it into hot water is what going to happen? It's going to come out. And the more pressure you put on it, and I've learned this the hard way, it's also going to come out. Recently, I was drinking some tea at night, and I like to speed up the process, you know, and steeping it is not something that I like to wait around and do. And so I don't always drink hot drinks like that, but for a certain reason, I was drinking some of these teas, and I got it in there. I was like, I don't want to wait. The water was hot, and so I took my spoon, and I started mashing that thing. Well, if you're a tea drinker, you know what's going to happen. It's not just the flavor is going to come out, but also the contents. Oh, that wasn't so good. It's like, why in the world? I thought I'm going to do this really fast. Squeeze that. Oh, that was just horrible. That was horrible. It's like, why did I do that? You don't do that. But you know, the fact of the matter is, when you get in pressure situations, hot water and squeeze, what really is in is going to come out. Right? And I've really disappointed myself. When tough times come, when I've been squeezed, and right responses don't come out. You know, that's devastating because that's what was inside. That's what was inside. So the question to us is, what comes out? And that's what we know and what we believe. You see, when we fail in a tough situation, it's because that's what we know, or if I could say, what we don't know. In other words, if I'm not trusting God in a certain situation, if I'm worrying, if I'm fearing, like we talked about last week, it is because I don't know God. Moses knew God. How do we know? Look down. What did Moses say? Moses didn't have a month to get right here. I don't know how long it was. But notice in verse 13, we see them coming. We hear them coming. And Moses said unto the people, listen, he did not have time just to sit there and go through and get right and come forward the next Sunday at church. Moses is faced with the situation, and what was inside Moses came out. Moses was a human because there would be a later time what was in Moses at that point in time would come out, and it wasn't as good and clean as what came out this time. See, Moses was just like us. You remember later in the wilderness, he is supposed to speak to the rock, and he got angry at the people, and what did he do? He hit the rock, and at that point in time of his life, he was being filled and led and controlled by his own flesh. Did Moses regret that? He did. He regretted what he did, and all he could do was look at what he could never enter into. It is important that we know, folks. It's important what we know, because at any given moment when we're squeezed, things are going to come out, and it may disqualify us from service. I like the story here, though. It's not so tragic, because here Moses, what's inside right now is spirit. See, Moses demonstrates to us a difference between operating in the spirit, operating in the flesh. Later in the wilderness, it's going to be flesh. Right here, it's all spirit. And you can only have at one time one of those, either one, not both. Here, it's spirit. Notice what the spirit bears in him. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again. These are good words. No more forever. Okay? No more forever. Sounds like the same thing. You know what he's doing there? He's emphasizing it. He is saying, no more forever. You will not see them. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing statement that Moses, remember, he is not some superhero Christian that's already been to heaven and knows everything. He doesn't have a Bible to look at and see the end of the story. You see, again, you and I are advantageous because we know the end of the story already. Moses didn't have very many endings of stories. But he knew that God told him something. He said, God said, listen, I'm going to do this because I want to show. You could go right back up to verse 4. I believe it was verse 4 that God is talking to Moses and he tells him, listen, I'm going to get victory today. I'm going to do this. That's what Moses was going on. And back what great-great-grandpa or whoever it was, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. Moses is going upon, he's going on this. And based on what he's been told, word of mouth here, and then passing it down, what he's been told is that God is going to get himself vengeance today. God is going to take care of this today. And all of a sudden, they hear everything, and Moses turns around to the people, and he says, fear not. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God is going to do this today, and we will not see them any longer, forever. They're going to be gone. How could Moses do that? You know, honestly, if you would have been the leader that day, what would have been your response? You know, it's one thing when things come into our lives and it's just us that we deal with. But when other people are involved, the pressure's up a lot higher. Right? When you're responsible, okay, you're responsible for your family. You've got a few children. You know what? If it's just you, there's certain pressures. If it's you now and a wife, well, you know, as you get married, now there's more. Well, we don't want to look at wives as a pressure. Ladies, that's not what I was trying to say. I'm going to say, but there's another responsibility, okay? And then you have that first child, and you just increased your responsibility. And they, as you want to go and you call them, whether you want to call them responsibilities or pressures, that is for you to decide, but they are responsibilities that we have. Why? Because there are people at stake. And I'm responsible for these people, and so there is pressure on me to react in a certain way. And when we have people that are underneath us, it is very important that we respond the right way. Moses has these few million people that are underneath him, and he knows that there's a lot at stake. And responding in the way that Moses responded is rather amazing. Because the pressures are big right now. He hears them. He sees them. There they are. The decision's got to be made right now. He doesn't have time to have a church-wide prayer meeting. He doesn't have time to fast and pray, you know, for a month. He doesn't have time to call up all the local pastors and see what their advice is. He doesn't have time. The pressure's here, and he's got to make a decision. And here we have Moses right there. He hears from the Lord. He hears the Egyptians, and he turns to the people, and he says, don't be afraid. By the way, what you are controlled by is what's going to come out. Most especially when it's an on-the-spot decision just like that. Any one of us, something coming up in a long time, can prepare ourselves so that what comes out is the right thing. And that's why when we're able, it is good to take time to respond. Don't respond right away when something happens, especially when it's with somebody else. Don't respond right away, because more times than not, it's going to be flesh and not spirit. Learn that practically. Then when somebody confronts you or says something, shut your mouth and be quiet and go home and pray about it before you answer. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. God, don't let me say anything right now, because what's likely to come out is not going to be good. Get yourself in the Spirit so that Spirit will come out. Spirit came out of Moses right now. That means he was walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If the lust of the flesh comes out, it's because we're not walking in the Spirit and you're walking in the flesh. So my question to you is, what comes out? if you would have been in Moses' situation, what would have come out? He didn't have time to pray. He didn't have time to think. All he could do was respond. And his response, don't be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. God's going to take care of this situation. Wow. And he says some wonderful things. He wasn't shaken. Are you a person that gets shaken? When your boat gets rocked, you stand still. You're steadfast, unmovable. When life throws you a curveball. You know, I appreciate Moses' composure. What a man. What a man. I mean, what did Moses know? Moses knew of their physical plight, didn't he? He knew it. I mean, he knew what situation he was in. But folks, Moses knew of God's call to worship freely in the wilderness. He knew of that. God has called us. Folks, we need to be aware of what God has called us to do. Because I'll tell you what, when you get into the situation, you need to know what God has already asked you to do. Get God's wisdom and knowledge with what He wants you to do. Be determined that you know this is what God has for me. Because I'll tell you, life situations are going to shake us, and we need to go back to what God's called us to do. No, this is what God has called us to do. Listen, I shall not be moved unless God is the one that moves. Right? And by the way, that should be all of us. Don't go anywhere unless God has called you to do it. Don't go there because you just want to. Don't go there because there's pressure. Don't go there because people are asking you to do it. Don't go there because you're afraid of this side. Don't go unless God calls you to do it. Because when the times come and you're in a struggle situation, you've got to go back and say, but God called me to this. Was it clear that God had called Moses to do what he was supposed to do? Absolutely. God had met him many, many times, and God called him. Moses knew of that calling, and I believe that helped him right here stand the test in a tough situation because he knew what God had asked him to do. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know it. This is where God has for me. He knew what God had called him to do. He knew that. He knew what God had promised to his forefathers. He knew what God had promised to him. God had just told him that he was going to take care of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He knew what God had promised. He knew that God had called and commissioned him to do this. He knew that God had what God had just done in Egypt. God had just performed miracles. He knew all of these things. He knew it. And he believed it. And that was the thing that gave him the ability to turn around before those people and just say, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God's going to take care of them. And we are going to be in a better place than we are right now. Do you know that God will never, ever, ever, listen, God will never do anything to you or allow you to go through anything that he will only bring you back to the place that you were before it started. God does not do that. He will always take you further than where you were because that's an advancing God. God doesn't work to keep you in the same spot. God works to get you further. You go back, but he's doing that to take you further. Further. He wanted to advance these people, but they couldn't go further unless they went back a few steps. This is good stuff. It's encouraging. It's helpful. It's hopeful. God's looking to advance. But if you don't know that, then it'll rock your world. But if you know that, then you can turn around to whoever you are in front of. It might be a tear dripping down your cheek, but you can look at those people in the face and you can say, we can trust the Lord because He's all about good. So don't be afraid. Stand still. Let's watch. Let's see the salvation of the Lord, because God is going to take care of this and He's going to send it to the uttermost. He's going to throw it away, and one day you're hardly going to be able to remember it. Folks, I want to tell you, that's good. That's good. I'm impressed with Moses. I'm thankful that Moses was walking in the Spirit. I'm thankful that he had a good response. He knew that fear wasn't right. No, we can't be afraid. That's going to kill us. He knew that they couldn't do it alone. They needed God's help. He knew that God could, and he knew that God would. He knew that God would provide his salvation. That's absolute composure. That's the kind of composure that you and I need when tough times come. What's your composure? Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why is therefore there? You see, I learned about gravity because I was taught it and I experienced it. Moses knew about God because he learned it and he experienced it. And he really knew it, and he was allowing it to rule his life. We call that being in control of the Spirit. It's important what we know. The word therefore is there, indicating a similarity. Therefore, or based upon what we know. Now, in 1 Corinthians, what is the subject matter of the entire chapter? Does anybody know? There's a one main theme. What is it? The resurrection. Now, very specifically, the resurrection of the saints. What was given, though, as a basis for the resurrection of the saints? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ah, what we celebrate on Easter. By the way, is Easter important? Therefore, do you realize that if it weren't for Easter, we could not be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? The whole story of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is about the resurrection, and I don't have time to go through and preach through it. We'll get there when we get there in 1 Corinthians, but it's a good chapter, and he builds a huge background and basis to show that we, those others that are saved, alive, dead, are going to be resurrected. It's all based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the, listen to this, the victory that he's already won. Let me say it again. The victory that he's already won. Where did he win that? He won it on the cross. Jesus Christ did the work for you. He did the work for us. Why? Because we were in a physical plight. Sinners, deserving of hell. And because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever that gave His only begotten Son in Bethlehem and at Golgotha to do the work, to finish the work, that whosoever believeth, that means to place dependence upon Him alone, not any other work of righteousness, should have everlasting life, eternal life. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did the work already for victory. 1 Corinthians 15 is an amazing defense of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the first fruits of our resurrection. We don't have time to get into it. Why? So that you can be, therefore, what? I've already won the victory for you. I've already won all the victories that you'll ever come against. I've already won against the Egyptians. I've already won against the wilderness. I've already won against everything that you're ever going to come up with. I've already won all that. And if you know that, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. How was it that Moses responded this way? It was because of something he knew. What did he know? There's victory in Jesus. There's victory with God. The victory was there. And it was because he knew that, that he could stand the test in front of a couple million people at a hot spot and turn around and say, fear not, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to do it. And my friend, you can respond the same way in trials, because the same God that won the victory on the cross and through the grave is the very same God that says, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'll tell you what, there's a lot to learn in this passage through Moses. For us, no matter what comes our way. So the question is, what do you know? It will make a big difference. What don't you know? It will be tough. It will make a big difference. Folks, it's time we step back and know our God. Know your God. What has He said about Himself? Do you believe it? Take Him at His word and trust it. You've been won the victory. So stand fast. Be steadfast. Stand like a rock. Don't move. And watch what God will do. Lord, we need that. We need that. I need that. God, would you help us to not be shaken? Not be shaken. Lord, help us to trust you and all that you bring us through. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.